Hi, I'm Scott Clapson. We are here today on Perspectives in Healthcare. I am here with Aaron Porter, the Director of Behavioral Health, Mental Health, and Addictions for Curry Community Health. That's a long title, Aaron Porter. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Scott, for inviting me today. It's a real honor.
Absolutely. It's a real honor for you to be here. How long have you been doing this work, and can you tell us maybe why, what's called you to do this work?
Yeah, I started working with mentally ill individuals probably around 2003. I started in a domestic violence shelter doing some volunteer work on their crisis line. I had had an interest in equine-assisted psychotherapy, so using horses as a form of therapy. And I was interested in that because I was working as a professional horse person for a number of years, and one of the individuals I gave lessons to had pretty severe ADHD. And after about 3 months of lessons, I noticed that he wasn't literally climbing the barn walls nearly as much as he used to. And his parents came in and told me that they had successfully managed to reduce his meds and pull him out of a lot of his additional therapies because the horses had worked so much in helping him learn to regulate and calm. And that really got me interested. And from there, I went in to study some graduate work.
Wow, that's really cool. So it was working with horses that led you into working with people with mental health.
It really was, yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's interesting how we end up finding what we're supposed to do, how it's kind of this roundabout way.
It is never a straight line.
Absolutely not. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do currently with Curry Community Health?
Yeah, currently, as the Director of Behavioral Health, I work on developing our program and overseeing our program for mental health and addictions. We have a great addictions director, Jan Barker, and so she runs her ship really well, and I would say that I'm not hugely involved in the addictions portion. Our mental health portion, because that's kind of where I came up through the ranks, I'm much more involved in. So in the past year and a half, we've gone from 11 staff people in mental health to 20.
Wow.
And so we've had a really large growth spurt in that department. And part of that is us learning to reorganize and deliver our services more efficiently since we have more staff available now to do so. And so I would do program management. I write grants. I problem solve and run crisis with our staff. I do a lot of work with our community partners and trying to get good working relationships with community partners so that we can serve all of Curry community better.
There is a real need for that in this county that for years has been overlooked, right? This is my home county, and mental health services have been really hard. When I came back 2.5 years ago, I was basically like sent a form from the phone book in the mail. And I was like, oh, well, thanks for the phone interview. Like, I could have looked at the phone book. And I know that there has been a lot of work done, and that's really cool because there's been a lot of us that have had need for mental health services and haven't been able to access them.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. We've been able to open our doors now to private insurance and individuals insured through Medicare. And so we are now able to offer services to more of the Curry County community. We are working on getting enrolled with the VA so that we can start offering counseling services and addiction services to vets as well.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very excited for that.
Do you know, like, what the timeline is for that? Like,
oh my goodness. I can always give a rough guess,
yeah,
but it's never a guarantee. I mean, I would certainly hope within the next 6 months.
Oh, that soon.
That would be my hope.
Okay.
And always, if there's any veteran out there that needs services and they're having a hard time hooking up with services, we work with people on fee waivers. So if people are uninsured or underinsured, or we don't take their insurance, we'll work with them on a sliding fee scale to see if we can get our services into a financial area that they can afford.
That's really cool. Yeah, there's a lot more people being served than there were a year and a half ago.
It is amazing. The number of services we provide has increased astronomically.
Yeah. Has that been a challenge to balance that change?
It has been a challenge to keep up with the demand. Mm-hmm. So although we have doubled the number of staff we have, our clinicians are still carrying pretty high caseloads. And we are not always able to see our individuals as often as we'd like. You know, sometimes we can only see them twice a month, whereas we'd prefer to see them weekly. So we continue to work on finding that balance of how many clinicians do we need and how many can we sustain, because we certainly don't want to hire more people than we're able to sustain.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are there like clinicians in all the communities in Curry County? Or
there are. We have clinicians in Brookings, Gold Beach, and Port Orford now. And the Port Orford Clinic is really growing. So we started, or I started on that project about a year and a half ago, and that's when I started as director, and I asked one of our clinicians who lives up there to start going up maybe 2 days a month. And so she started going up there, started building some rapport just with the Port Orford community. She is now up there on average about 2.5 days a week, so about 50% of her time is spent in Port Orford. And we continue to evaluate if more of her time is needed, because we continue to get more referrals from that community. In addition to her, we also have our school-based mental health clinician. And so we have, in this last year, I wrote a grant, and we have now one full-time school-based mental health clinician in the Brookings Harbor School District, and that is a 2-year grant funded by the state. And so we were able to fill that position, and so now our school counselor, instead of going to each school district, now there's one for Brookings Harbor and there's one for the Gold Beach Port Orford area.
That's really nice.
Yeah, the Port Orford School has always flooded us with referrals.
Yeah.
And so it will be good to be able to give them some more clinician time.
Yeah, that's really cool. And sometimes the northern part of the county gets forgotten about because they're a little smaller population. So
it really does. And I've had some discussions as well with Agnes over the past year about what would it take to get a telehealth unit installed in the library up there and provide a confidential place for that for an individual to be able to go and do telehealth. So that would be, you know, either counseling or psychiatry through the computer, similar to Skype, but it's on a point-to-point connection that's HIPAA compliant.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's confidential, like you could have a conversation with your therapist that's completely private.
Yep.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, we provide almost half of our psychiatry services through telepsychiatry currently, with a licensed mental health nurse practitioner in Portland. And so people come and they come into our clinic and sit in front of the computer and talk with her through the computer, and she builds really great rapport. We've had a really good response from the community, and people seem to really enjoy her, and she's providing an excellent service.
That's really cool. So she just like telecommutes down to Brookings.
She does. She does. And yeah, the community has really embraced it. It's being such a rural community, we have really had to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And so have kind of led the pack in some of these areas where we've had to use technology to meet a need.
Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. Brookings, Curry County, like on the cutting edge of telehealth in Oregon.
I know. It's not what you would think. But now I have directors from Josephine County and some of the other larger counties contacting me and saying, hey, how are you making this work?
That's really cool. That makes me smile. So there is some hurry in Curry.
There is. Yep.
So what do you think the most exciting thing that you all are working on is right now?
Oh, my goodness. We have our projects right now are so different in their scope. And so we have a project that we're working on with the elderly. And so we've partnered with the ADRC, the Aging and Development Resource Center. And they have a grant, and we've partnered with them to provide mental health services to individuals in their homes who are referred to us through the ADRC. So it's generally the senior population, and they're having some sort of struggle with addictions, depression, anxiety, and the clinician goes to the home to provide the service for them. And that is starting to pick up and starting to really grow, and it's been a really great thing to offer to those individuals. In addition to that, with our kids, we are working on a new program called RAP. And so we have an intensive service array currently, and RAP will add an element to that where we'll be able to pull in more of our community partners and be able to make integrated treatment plans so that we're all working towards the same goal and working collaboratively with each other to reach those goals. And then in our adults, we are really focused on crisis and law enforcement. So last week we handed in a grant for the Justice Reinvestment Grant, and we partnered with the Parole and Probation Department to apply for that. And that grant would allow us to provide an evidence-based practice called Thinking for a Change to parolees, with the hope to reduce recidivism and increase public safety and increase accountability of the individuals enrolled in that program.
You just used a really big word called, what is that?
Recidivism?
What is that?
So the technical definition of recidivism is whether or not a parolee commits a new crime while they during a 3-year period.
Okay.
And so individuals who have criminal behaviors tend to have established thinking patterns that oftentimes lead to those behaviors. They are also trying to get a need met most of the time. So whether they have an addiction and they're looking for a way to find their substance of choice, or they are just trying to make ends meet, or they're trying to find a warm place to sleep, they're oftentimes trying to problem solve that, and it results in a criminal activity. And so Thinking for a Change will help with the criminal thinking and help them adjust that thinking pattern and change that thinking pattern so that they learn new problem-solving skills, develop a higher level of accountability for their own actions. And it will also provide more services to them so that they can get their social needs supports met.
Wow, that's really cool and well thought out and much needed.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think, traditionally growing up here, and even coming back after being gone for 20 years, it's like the sheriff, like, oh yeah, those same family keep getting, and it's like, well, what's the bigger conversation, right? And mm-hmm. I really appreciate that you all are having that bigger conversation and really talking about those things. So it's not just the same people cycling in and out of the jail for years and everybody just kind of reading the sheriff's log and going, well, that's just who they are. And there's really nothing that can be done, when oftentimes that's not the case.
Yeah, it is. You can't create change if your thought pattern is nothing can be done. And yeah. So it has been really exciting to partner with law enforcement. We've developed a much closer relationship with the sheriff's department and with the jail. Both mental health and addictions are currently going into the jail a few times a week and running groups in there.
Really?
Yep. And wow. We've been doing that for a little over a year now. So the partnering between the community agencies has really grown.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's a lot of us coming to the table and talking about these are our needs and these are our limitations, and understanding that that we each have limitations. You know, I can't provide every individual in Curry County with housing. I don't have enough houses. And I can't make mentally ill people better. My magic wand is on back order.
Yeah.
So as we partner more, as we sit around the table more often and talk about, you know, what needs to change and how do each of us, or how can each of us play a role in creating that change. And so when Ken Duque became CEO at Curry Community Health, he started implementing these community partner meetings where we sit down with the law enforcement agencies, with the hospital, the Department of Human Services, and we really talk about what isn't working and how do we fix it.
That's really cool. It's really important, and it's happening in a lot of different places. When I talked with Holly Strom about that in the public health one that we just did recently, and this whole idea of kind of de-siloing everything, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I had no idea that there wasn't, you know, that's part of where the breakdown lies in some of this stuff that we look at that doesn't work in just different sectors or whatever. And it's because for whatever reason, it was set up so people weren't really communicating. And that just seems odd that these things weren't already happening. And all the stuff that's just coming out of this one directive to say, hey, we should all be coming to the table and having conversations about what we need.
Yeah, yeah, I really think that was a driving force between the transformative healthcare is that it's healthcare with common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what the individual needs and which agencies can best support that individual. So when you have somebody who is looking at a potential amputation because they can't keep their wound clean, rather than an insurance company or the state, the taxpayers having to financially support an amputation and all the aftercare that goes with it, doesn't it make more sense to either get them a hotel room or get them an apartment for a period of time until that wound can heal so that they're in a cleaner environment and can stay clean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's common sense.
Yeah. Well, it's... Our producer, Tom Bozak, and I were talking about this before you arrived about the direction that these podcasts around healthcare would take. And a big part of it is, you know, this idea of, you know, sometimes it's things that we didn't even think about instead of, you know, the down the line, you know, what's going to happen later. It's like sometimes these things at the beginning, the prevention, the stuff you can do at the beginning or before it gets out of control is the better thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more cost effective for the public, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's certainly more cost effective in the long run. And currently, we are partnering with AllCare and WOE, our two CCOs that support Curry Community, and looking at, you know, okay, if an individual doesn't have the pump to their well went out and now they don't have safe drinking water and they aren't able to shower, you know, where can we pull funding to help this couple get a pump?
Yeah. So you just used an acronym and you said AllCare. Can you tell us what WOE stands for and what AllCare is? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So WOE stands for Western Oregon Advanced Health, and AllCare is a similar organization, though not the same. They are both coordinated care organizations, and so they are part of the driving force in Oregon behind the transformative healthcare and creating a more holistic approach to healthcare and looking at outcome measures rather than just how many times a person goes and sees somebody, but really trying to determine, is the treatment that they're receiving beneficial to them?
Yeah, it's important, right? Like, it's great to go to your doctor or your therapist or whoever and have them tell you what they think you should do, but if you're not engaged with that, it doesn't really do anybody any good.
No, the only person that can make change in your life is you.
Yeah. And that's a new concept, right? When I first called AllCare and I had a healthcare need earlier this year and they were like, you're in the driver's seat of your healthcare. And I'm like, what? I don't know what that means. Like, and this is a brand new concept for a lot of us, right? That are on the Oregon Health Plan and we have never had this opportunity before to engage with our healthcare.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to understand why wouldn't someone have the opportunity to engage in their healthcare and make some decisions. It's your body, it's your mind, it should be your decision.
Yeah, it's really exciting times to be living in Oregon.
It is. Oregon has really led the way with this.
Yeah. As far as mental health goes and talking about wellness, right, and you used the term mental illness earlier. Is that a situation where if someone has a mental illness, or are they stuck with that mental illness, or like, is there like, you know, does that make sense? Is that question?
Mm-hmm. I think I know where you're coming from, so I'll give you an answer, and you can tell me if I've answered your question or someone else's. So, can you recover from mental illness? Yes, you can recover from mental illness. That doesn't mean always that the mental illness has gone away. There are some forms of mental illness that are conditions that will never go away per se, but that with medication management and learning skill sets, you can learn to manage the symptoms and you can achieve recovery from the mental illness. Examples of that would be schizophrenia and bipolar. There are other mental illnesses that fall in within a diagnosable mental illness that you can fully recover from. People fully recover from depression and adjustment disorders. So it really depends upon what the physiological foundation of the mental illness is and whether it's something that your body can change and heal from, or whether it's something that's going to need ongoing maintenance.
Sounds like you know a lot about this subject.
Well, it's really been a passion. I've really found when I thought about, what do I want to do? What would interest me and keep me engaged for the rest of my life? I knew that I wanted to do something that is constantly growing and constantly changing, and mental illness definitely falls within that boundary.
Yeah, absolutely. I am Scott Clapson. I'm here on KCIW. This is a new program we have called Perspectives in Healthcare. I'm sitting here today with Aaron Porter, the Mental Health Behavioral Director. Is that correct?
Almost. The Behavioral Health Director for Mental Health and Addiction.
Yes. And you work for Curry Community Health. We encourage people to donate to KCIW if you enjoy this programming. We are really excited. We have over 80 podcasts currently, and we're getting ready to go live on the air very, very soon, so stay tuned for that. I'm here today with Aaron Porter. So, Aaron, there's a couple of things that I know about that you all do. What is the Minds Clubhouse? I've never had the opportunity to see it, but I've heard a lot about it.
The Minds Clubhouse was started, quite a while ago. I've been with Curry Community Health for 5 years, and the Minds Clubhouse was put into motion before that time. And it's located in Gold Beach. It's a freestanding building, and it is a drop-in center. And the basis of the Minds Clubhouse is peer support. So individuals who are struggling with mental health or addictions are welcome to go down. And our current peer support specialist is Kat. And so they're welcome to go down and talk with Kat and get some support. She can help them problem solve. And the only restrictions around Minds Clubhouse is that we ask that people not go if they're currently intoxicated. It's hard to help people when they are intoxicated. Usually what they need is a place to rest and to find some healing. But anybody else that's suffering with mental health and addictions, if they need a place to just connect, if they want to volunteer and spend some time down there and help other people who are struggling, we welcome that. We teach various classes down there, so classes on nutrition, on health, cooking classes. We're looking at building some standing gardens so that we can start doing some gardening down there.
Cool.
It's very open, and we'd like ideas.
That's awesome. So where would someone, if they were suffering from mental health situation or an addiction and they wanted to go to the Minds Clubhouse, how would they locate it?
How would they find it? That's a good question. I do not have the address memorized, but it is off of Airport Way in Gold Beach, and it is right next to the Senior Center.
Okay.
And so if they go down there and they look around right next to the Senior Center off of Airport Way, we're right there.
Cool. So there are gardens. I love gardens. I would love to talk with you after the podcast about how I can help support that, because we've actually talked about that before, and I'm excited to know that it's still being thought about.
Mm-hmm.
So mental health first aid, that's also something else that I've heard about, and we've been trying to get more of that going and get some people maybe that don't maybe suffer from mental illness, but help them become more aware.
Yeah, mental health first aid is really a worldwide program now, It started, I believe, in Australia and is now used all through Europe, Australia, South America. I believe some of the African countries have taken it in. And what it is it's based on helping develop some empathy towards individuals with mental illness. It's an 8-hour training, and it will give you some idea of what someone who's struggling with mental illness goes through and experiences on a day-to-day basis. And then it will give you some tools on how to interact with that person and how to help them. So many times, people with mental illness become isolated, and community members don't know how to react and interact with them. The other part that Mental Health First Aid does is it really helps with how to support an individual who's experiencing suicidal ideation. It can be really scary when a friend or a family member comes and shares that I am down at the bottom of my barrel right now and I don't want to go on anymore. And how a person reacts to that can really make a difference. So to help people learn how to provide that person with a reaction that's safe for the person experiencing the suicidal ideation, as well as the person giving the support, so that you can get them to a professional who can provide more ongoing support and evaluate them for hospitalization if needed. It'll also help people identify there's a youth mental health first aid that, although it sounds like it should be for kids, it's for adults, but it's about kids, and it helps people identify what are those initial symptoms of mental illness so that we can recognize it early. The earlier a mental illness is recognized and treated, the less severe it becomes. Every time a person with a psychotic disorder experiences psychosis, and every time a person with bipolar experiences a manic episode, there's damage done to the brain. And oftentimes they're not able to fully recover from that. So their baseline becomes a little lower each time they have an episode. So if we can recognize it early and engage the individual in treatment and keep them in treatment, then their ability to live a healthy life increases astronomically. Currently, people with mental illness live an average of 25 years less than any of the other adults in America. And part of this is the decompensating that occurs when someone experiences a psychotic episode or a manic episode.
Wow, I did not know that. That's a big difference in lifespan.
It really is. It really is.
And I like the... As one of the people in the community that's been working with St. Timothy's, where we used to have the free medical clinic, there's a number of us there at the church that would like to participate in a mental health first aid training. I didn't know about the suicidal ideation, you called it?
Yeah, so suicidal ideation is when someone is having thoughts of suicide. So ideation is just comes from the root word idea.
Okay.
So it's somebody having ideas about suicide. And almost everybody will experience at some point in their life someone who expresses some sort of suicidal ideation to them, and knowing how to react to that can really be a life-saving mm-hmm. piece of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. I'm excited to collaborate with some community partners to bring more mental health first aid stuff to Curry.
We would really like to be able to provide it. We currently have one staff person who is trained to provide the mental health first aid training, and we have received a grant to be able to provide some classes to the community so we can do it at no cost to the individuals who are interested in enrolling. We're sending a second staff member to training in September, so then we'll have two people who are trained to teach mental health first aid.
Wow, that's really cool. I'm really excited. That's great news.
Yeah, it really is. It's a class that is meant to be taught by two people. It takes a lot of energy. And so mm-hmm. one person expending that much energy in 8 hours, she's a little a little loose-limbed at the end of an 8-hour training. And so it'll be great that she'll have some support, and it will really, I'm hoping, increase the effectiveness of the trainings.
That's really cool. I'm really excited about that. So what, you talked about healthcare transformation, and I know what healthcare transformation is because of my participation with the Community Advisory Council for All Care. I would like to know, as someone, like, I'm a layperson, right? So and on the Oregon Health Plan, but you actually work in the healthcare industry. What does healthcare transformation mean to you?
Well, to me, it's a lot about, you know, that common sense, adding a little bit of common sense into the healthcare we provide. So rather than counting the number of sessions a person goes to and saying, wow, they must be doing really well because they went to therapy every week, it is going to measure outcomes. So you'll be able to see, is the person making progress? A lot of people don't need therapy every week for 5 years to improve. A lot of people need just between 4 sessions and 6 sessions of therapy and to develop the skill set that they need to overcome whatever is going on in their life. So healthcare transformation is providing better healthcare, more effective healthcare, healthcare based on science. We call them in mental health, we call them evidence-based practices, meaning that they've been studied and have been shown to work. And providing that to individuals in the community so that we can provide something that works and we can provide it in a way that's going to be better in the long run for the taxpayers, because we're able to do the prevention and the short-term solution-focused therapy that doesn't take as long and is more effective.
So one of the things that I have been learning about since I've gotten involved as a volunteer with the Community Advisory Council for All Care is what CHIP stands for, the Community Health Improvement Plan. And after learning from Holly Strom, Public Health Director for Curry Community Health, on our last Perspectives in Healthcare podcast, that Curry Community Health is doing its own CHIP for public health. So obviously, right, there's a mental health piece in the All Care Community Health Improvement Plan, and I'm sure there's going to be a mental health piece in the public health one, and then obviously you have Western Oregon Advanced Health, right? So you have all these different chips running around. What's the intersectionality of that for mental health in Curry County, and what's that going to mean as far as thinking about where we're headed?
Right now, a lot of that is working with our community partners. So providing better communications, working with primary care providers to let them know when their patient was seen in crisis at the emergency room, and letting them know what the outcome or what the resolution of that crisis was. Working with the primary care providers within our own agency and staffing clients together so that you're getting the mental health, the addictions, and the physical health piece all at once. So it's more of a treatment team approach. They're also looking at, across Oregon, there was a House bill passed looking at individuals who want to voluntarily provide their mental health information to the law enforcement agencies, so that when law enforcement stops someone, they can look them up in that database. And if that person has Alzheimer's or dementia, the officer will have a better idea of how to approach them. They would know if they had a traumatic brain injury or if they're developmentally delayed. It is a voluntary program. It's not mandated. So if people don't want to share their information, they certainly don't have to, but it's an option. So that better communication across all fields of professionals is, I hope, going to provide a better level of care for individuals.
It's really exciting. So what do you think, with this better level of health care for individuals in our county, where are we going with mental health? What do you think is the next, like, there's all these exciting things that are happening. It can only get better, right?
I hope so. I hope so. That's certainly our intention. One of the things that we really would like to accomplish is a mobile crisis unit. The crisis funding is always a challenging thing to come across. Crisis is such a needed service, but it's not paid out the same way that other services oftentimes are. You know, we don't charge somebody for being in crisis. Mm-hmm. It does not, it would not help somebody experiencing mental health crisis if they went home to a large bill from the person who's supposed to be helping them with their crisis.
Yeah.
So there is no fee associated with that. So we're looking at grants, at what the state is going to offer for financial assistance to be able to provide mobile crisis units, meaning that we would have trained therapists who could go out with law enforcement to respond to mental health crises in the community, which would hopefully take some of the stress off of the local emergency room, because a lot of those issues can be resolved in the community. It doesn't need to go to the emergency room. Those individuals in crisis will be able to get hooked up with services more quickly, and so that would be our next really big push, that we are looking at various ways to fund that.
Much needed. So many much needed things, and I'm just so excited. It just, this was the one, I think, I was, of all the people that I've been thinking of interviewing, I was most excited about this because of mental health and just knowing of the need here mm-hmm. in Curry County and just all the wonderful things that are happening. This has really helped me feel really positive about the future here in Curry, right? Because I think that's the, sometimes when how we take care of the people among us that have the most need that oftentimes get forgotten about. It's really easy to kind of ostracize that person that you don't know how to deal with rather than supporting them to a place of whatever health means for them, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if every person in our community would make a point of doing one kind thing, stepping out of their way once a day to support someone else, it would make a really big difference.
You hear that, listeners? We have a challenge from Erin Porter from Curry Community Health. She wants us to step out and do one kind thing for someone every day in Curry County. So please do that. I agree. I think it's wonderful. Erin, as we come to the end of the podcast, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
So, Scott, you asked me about some other things that that might be good information for Curry Community or Curry County members to know. One of those is that we are always looking for personal care attendants for individuals who are mentally ill. So if someone is out there looking for some part-time work or looking for something to do in their spare time and they would like to get paid for it, we're always looking for personal care attendants. And what you would do as a personal care attendant would be to go into individuals' homes and maybe help them with their medications, help them with their daily living skills, such as doing the dishes, vacuuming the floor, basic things like that. Another thing that we are doing is we are really building up our advisory board. We have a mental health and addictions advisory board. And this is a group that I'm very excited about. In the past, it has not been very active, but in the last 6 months, we have really made a push to get some more activity. And so we have set our goals for this coming year, and we are now breaking them down into bite-sized pieces. So in the next 2 months, we're hoping to put together a manual that would have all of the community supports in Curry County in that manual, so that when law enforcement encounters somebody and maybe that person isn't engaged in illegal activity but needs some support, they can pull out their manual and look through there and see what might be available for them. So if there's anybody out there who's passionate about mental health or addictions and would be interested in joining our advisory board, they'd also be welcome to give us a call.
Me.
We would love to have you.
I just heard one of my, Dory, you know Dory Staten from the council.
Dory.
She was talking about that, and I was like, something else I'm going to need to make time for. It's really, really cool. So could we maybe attach information to contact you to this podcast?
Absolutely.
If people are interested, is that okay to attach your email?
Yep. They're welcome to email me. They're also welcome to call any of the clinics.
Cool. Awesome. That's really exciting. So if you're interested and you're listening and sitting on this advisory board for mental health and addictions for Curry County, that's really exciting. How often do you all meet?
Right now we're meeting every other month.
And you meet in Brookings or Gold Beach?
We generally meet in Gold Beach because we like to keep our crisis coordinators part of that board, because crisis is always a big topic, but they have to be within 15 minutes of the hospital. So if a crisis does come up, they can respond quickly.
Great. So if you're interested, we'll attach information to this podcast, how to contact Curry Community Health. Thank you so much, Erin. This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation with you. I've really enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed learning about all the exciting things I've been kind of watching, right, as you give updates or different people talk about mental health stuff at the Community Advisory Council meetings. And yeah, it's a really exciting time to be in Curry County and all the changes. I'm Scott Clapson. This is Perspectives in Healthcare. I've been here today with Erin Porter from Curry Community Health. Thank you so much, Erin, for coming.
Thank you, Scott, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Friends, please feel free to donate to KCIW. We have done over 80 podcasts. We're very excited about this. And we're very excited about this new series, Perspectives in Healthcare. Please share our website, KCIW, with your friends. And let's all engage in doing one kind thing for someone else in Curry County every day. It's a great idea. Thanks so much, Erin. And thank you to our listeners. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.